With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Tunnel Vision, a show brought to you by USCFootball.com. I'm your host, Keely Orr, joined by Shotgun Spratling and Ryan Abraham. I guess I got to start with this. Shotty Sprat, you made an announcement today, a sad announcement. Tell the people.
Sad announcement.
Well, tell the people your status.
I figured that Drake London was leaving, so why am I going to stay around anymore? And I was right. He just announced that he is going to declare for the 2022 NFL draft, and wish the best of luck to him.
Big news.
But yeah, I'm leaving leaving Southern California, actually. So
East Coast, Shotty. We're going to miss you. Yeah. So only this Tunnel Vision and probably one more Tunnel Vision for you. And then you're off to the East Coast. So enjoy it, people. Enjoy.
Enjoy Shotgun what we got.
Yeah. And we can do a remote. Rants.
We've done the remote thing, especially the pandemic. We did the whole remote thing.
And Ryan absolutely hated it.
I did hate
that. Loved it.
I didn't like when you were in the other room while we were in the same office.
That was difficult as well. Well, right. Guys, we've been through it. This show has made it through.
But yes. But we wish you the best, Shotty. You guys should watch, listen to the Family Feud. Yes. Lots of news was on this. This was a big Family Feud. Yeah. Yeah. I told Keely you got to change that intro to your Family Feud.
I know.
Because now you're going to have Chris
Trevino is an official member.
He's an official member. You got Shotgun. We don't know what his stats going to be, but he'll be around. We'll make sure he's around in some capacity.
For sure. All right. Well, we have a lot to talk about. Ryan, I was just saying before the show started, I haven't seen you since the season ended. The 2021 season is finally over. I think USC fans all over America are rejoicing that it's over. USC now enters a new era with Lincoln Riley. Ryan, just your thoughts about this season ending.
Yeah, 4-8, the worst season. I mean, if you look at the SRS rankings, it's the third worst ever and the worst since 1957 or something like that. I mean, it's bad. They think it's worse than the 91 team that I was around for, that USC went 3-8. But that team beat Penn State, you know. Into consideration margin of victory and things like that. Just wasn't a very competitive team for most of the season, giving up all those points at home. So, yes, I think we put up some content about the game recently, and fans on the message board usually never – they'll say, hey, why are you putting basketball stuff up? We want to read about football. They were saying, we don't want to read about this football season anymore. And I've never seen that. That's been one where they just want this to be in the rearview mirror, move on, no more talking about the 2021 debacle of the football season. They want to go forward, which is great because there was so much negativity around this football team. Limping to the finish, it really was cruel to make them play that makeup game because no one really seemed to want to be there. They fought, though. You guys were there. I went to Vegas and covered the Pac-12 championship game. That was fun, even though it was a blowout.
It's not a good game.
Utah and Oregon, but that was a great environment. USC is going to be going to a bunch of these. USC fans need to go to Allegiant Stadium in Vegas. It is a good time. It's a great atmosphere. I think you're going to like that. But then you guys went north. You guys went to Berkeley.
Hey, I was going to go to Allegiant Stadium, and then the USC season happened.
Right.
The pick from the Pac-12 South, the predictive pick for most people to make it there. And instead, especially with the schedule they had, everything was supposed to be lined up, and 4-8?
4-8.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. There's some bad teams, like Arizona going 1-11. That's pretty bad. We kind of thought that would be Colorado? I think they were 4-8 also. They were 3-9 or 4-8, something like that. Not good.
They got four. I don't think they got four wins.
I forget what they did. And then Stanford, 3-9. They were not good. Just like I told you people, even though you're mad.
I do believe you used a different word for that, Ryan.
I called them butt, and they were butt for sure. I think Arizona would be favored against them if you played right today. But yeah, it was weird. It was a weird Pac-12 season. Utah gets its first ever Pac-12 crown. They've won the division a few times, three of the last four, actually, and they get to go to the Rose Bowl for the very first time. First time they were.
What they've been through, I'm very happy for.
I mean,
that team.
Amazing stuff going on there, but there's a new sheriff in town, and that's what USC fans are excited about. They want to see what Lincoln Riley can do. And literally, I think this next week, this weekend specifically, is going to have a lot to do with that because we talked about this before, and I, you know, I've had Gerard on when we talked on the podcast. When you're trying to hire a head coach in this environment, it's hard because you wait till the end of the season, and then there's only like 2 weeks until you get to the early signing period. The best thing USC could have done outside of like hiring someone in, you know, October, like if you hired Bob Stoops and he could start recruiting right away, if you're going to get someone that was an actual head coach right now, you had to wait till the end of the season. The best guy you could have got, I think, would be Lincoln Riley. His season ended just at the right time for not just because he's a great young head coach, but also because he's recruited this area so well, had a whole bunch of commits already. So he comes in kind of guns blazing as far as recruiting goes, and he at least gives you the best chance to not just salvage the 2022 recruiting class, but to make something that's actually, you know, top 15 class, top 20 class, top 10 class, something like that. If he can do that, I think, because there's going to be roster turnover, we're starting to see it, that's going to be a huge portion of it because you're going to hit the transfer portal hard for sure. There's guys going to leave, guys are going to come in. But if you can get like a good base of the 2022 class, I don't think Oregon's going to be able to do that as much. I think a lot of their class is probably going to fall apart. You know, they don't have a head coach yet. You're seeing when these late transitions happen, it's tough to save that class. USC did the best they possibly could do, you know, with a great hire, obviously, but he's also someone that could help save the class.
Yeah, and we'll see, can USC poach some players from Oregon? You know, they had the Jahlil-Lincoln duo, Jahlil Florence and Jahlil Tucker came up and visited USC, or I believe, no, excuse me, it was the other way around. They went down to visit those two in San Diego-Lincoln. I believe they're trying to get them up for a visit this weekend as well. Two defensive backs trying to take those guys from Oregon. Still trying to talk to T-Mac, Tetaroa McMillan from Servite, Oregon commit. Try to take as many guys from that class as they can because not only does it help you, you hurt your your you know, the team that you've been battling with the most on the recruiting trail in the West the last couple years, but it could be a complete changing of guard. You know, USC's been down for at least 5 years, with the exception of the one Rose Bowl year. You could probably say they've been down for 8 or 9 or 10 years. So this. Other teams had the chance. Now is USC's opportunity to retake the mantle, and they can especially do that with the fact that Oregon's changing head coaches, Washington's changing head coaches. You know, there's still that uncertainty at Arizona State, I feel like. Utah's the one team that's kind of consistent right now, and, hey, you have to battle them out, but it's wide open otherwise. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what they can do on the recruiting trail, and it'll be unique because we'll get a full ranking now. 24/7 unveiled some new features on the site, which is not only we're going to have the high school recruiting class rankings, but there is now going to be a total class rankings that will include transfers. So, you know, it's a new world now.
Yeah.
As far as recruiting with the transfer portal and everything the last couple of years, so now 24/7 has reacted to that and created a, you know, we've already had transfer rankings previously, but now we'll have class rankings that include the transfers and stuff. So we'll see, cuz USC may try to sign 14, 15 guys, high school guys, and then try to go to the portal and get some other guys.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they can sign up to 32 guys potentially this year because I believe that you get 25 every year. This year, the NCAA is allowing an extra seven, up to seven, one-for-ones. So if you lose a transfer, you can bring an extra one in. So I think USC will end up losing seven transfers. They've already, I think it was three so far, plus you got a couple of draft guys. So they're already getting really close. So they could sign up to 32. And that's going to be huge for Lincoln Riley if he gets up to that number because you're trying to overturn this roster. You're trying to get your own guys in there, guys that fit your system, what Alex Grinch wants to do on the defensive side. So I think that they're going to be – they've already been grinding. I don't know how Lincoln Riley has done so many media appearances and not looked like death. Not looked just like
– You don't sleep. He cannot be sleeping. Like, I know you never sleep.
He puts you to shame, Chocolate.
Yeah.
Like, no sleep.
Now let's slow down a little bit. How much recruiting's done from midnight to 6 a.m. or so? He's probably still getting his 6 hours in.
But he might have other stuff to do. You don't know.
Nah.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you guys. I mean, overall, I mean, we can get into different facets, but just recruiting alone, what have you taken away from Lincoln's efforts so far? I mean, he had his introductory press conference last Monday, and then we got word on social media later that night he had an in-home visit with Relik Brown, the five-star running back out of Modern Day. Relik Brown actually ends up committing to USC. What do you make of the efforts that he's made so far?
I mean, it was a 3-day stretch, and you picked up 3 5-star commitments. Now, one from 2022, but the duo from Los Alamitos High School, Malachi Lemon and Malachi. Yeah, so like to pick those guys up like day after day after day, you're like, okay, so you've been on the job for 4 days and you have 3 5-star commitments already. Like that's what you want to see from someone like Lincoln Riley. I mean, I've talked to sources that have been around that, you know, the people that have been around him, and I've not heard anyone say anything, but he is the ultimate recruiter. He is really, really good. And at a place like USC, you can build something off of that. So, I think it's really good news for this class. Now, it's kind of slowed down the last few days, but obviously a huge weekend coming up. There's going to be a bunch of visitors. So this is really the last weekend. It is the last weekend, not really. The last weekend before the early signing period, which starts on Wednesday, which we hate, by the way. And it sounds like there's actually some news where they've talked about, I think Bob Bowlsley from the Big 12 talked about moving it or getting rid of it, which I think would be a lot better. I mean, even for fan interest, we talked about this on the podcast of Champions, little plug with David Woods. I mean, fans would get into the February signing period, and it's really hard. Well, like your team's preparing for a bowl game, sure, or you're finding a head coach, and like, do you care as much about the recruiting class as much? So it just seems like they've shoehorned it into a really bad time.
Similar to how NFL is kind of a year-long event. Because you have the draft, you have free agency opens, they purposely line some of those things up so that you have those off-season talking points to continue narratives, continue the conversation, and keep you in the news. College football could potentially look at it and be like, you know, if we're going to do an early signing period, why not do it in March, or why not do it in June when, you know, there's been this lull of time between spring practices, and, you know, so you get that interest going back during the summer. Maybe that's something to look at, because I think they should have an early signing period. I think it should come before high school players' senior
year.
Yeah. And that commits a player to a school. That commits a school to a player. No backing out if you're the school. You can't try to, you know, drop anyone later. So even if there's a coaching change, if a kid still wants to go to school, he should be able to go to that school. So I think it's an interesting thing, and it will change the dynamic of college football completely, because you won't see as quick of the firings and hirings that you have to have. Because if you lose a recruiting class, you're usually not making a coaching move for positive news.
Right.
Yeah, so if you now sometimes you're a lower school and you lose your head coach to a Power Five or something like that, that's a little bit different. But if you're a Power Five school, if you're getting rid of your head coach or you're bringing in a new head coach, it usually means you're not playing very well.
Yeah.
So you need to kill the recruiting class, and instead you're going to potentially lose an entire recruiting class if you don't hire immediately. And so that's why you're seeing, you know, the coaching carousel typically can last a couple months. You know, it could go all the way even into February. I mentioned on the Family Feud podcast, but that Charlie Weiss was, I think he did a recruiting day event from the Super Bowl because the Patriots were still, you know, playing.
They're still playing, yeah.
When he was going to be hired by, when he'd already been hired by Notre Dame. But that's not the case anymore. You got to do it immediately. You got to turn it over because you need to get working on that immediate class. And Lincoln Riley's been grinding on it. And getting the Los Alamitos duo is great. Getting Relik Brown is great as well. Those are flips, though. Those are ones that he'd already got committed. They'd already said, hey, I'm coming to you. I want to play in your system type of thing at Oklahoma. And that makes those a little bit easier. You got to see, what is he going to do? Who can he get in this class to finish off the USC class that wasn't already committed to Oklahoma, even if they do already have those relationships and stuff? How can they close this class? And can they get any linemen?
Yeah.
That's a huge part of this class, because that's where USC has struggled. And obviously Lincoln Riley's offense is fun. And if I'm a receiver, I definitely want to play in this. If I'm a quarterback, I'm going to want to play in this. But you need offensive linemen to make everything run. And you need defensive linemen to create some havoc.
Yeah, it might be portal, but if you can get some high school kids, that's going to help.
You need the combination, because right now the potential USC loses all their upperclassmen offensive linemen. All their starters and stuff. You already seen Jalen McKenzie leave. Liam Jimmins is gone. Andrew Voorhees, Brett Nealon are having decisions. if you lose those, you need to kind of stack classes, though. You need some young guys that you're working up, because you don't really want to be able to, relying on five-star, even if you can get five-star. You don't want to be relying on freshmen, offensive linemen. But if you can get some guys that are third year, okay, and then they kind of cycle out at the same time as that, those freshmen are now ready to take over, even if they're four-star guys, and develop a little bit. So you want to kind of stack your classes a little bit differently, and it'll depend on how many guys are departing the class, whether it be NFL, transfer portal, or just, you know, being done with football. Because that, some people, I know a lot of people on our message boards and on Twitter and stuff, when someone says they're in the transfer portal, there's a lot of kind of hateful messages at times. And so you got to realize two things. One, if a guy's going into a sixth year, maybe he doesn't want to be at college anymore.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants to be writing papers anymore. Some guys are like, hey, or and especially if they don't think they're NFL players, maybe it's time for me to move on and start my life, yeah, start making money. Two, it may not be their decision. They may be getting pushed out by the staff,
yeah,
especially with a new staff. That happens a lot when you have a new staff come in, you know, trying to change the roster to guys that fit their style, guys that fit what they want to do. And that's happening at USC right now.
Yeah.
So don't go on Twitter. For one, don't ever tweet at recruits. That's number one rule.
Yeah. Number one.
But if someone goes in the transfer portal, just wish them well. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Just hope for the best for people.
All you do. Yeah. We'll put more in the war room, but we have learned that over the course of this week, Lincoln Riley and his staff have been meeting one-on-one with USC's roster, kind of updating them on how they think they can fit in this new system and whether or not maybe they should explore other options. And that's why you've kind of been seeing more of transfer portal news coming up. Not all the names that have been told to seek other options have entered the transfer portal. So make sure you stay tuned to the war room for that.
Yeah. The war room, if you don't know, that's for USCfootball.com, our weekly, every Friday. We've been doing this for over 20 years, putting all the insider information nuggets in there. The fans on the Peristyle, which is the premium message board at USCfootball.com. Look forward to it every week. And they want to talk about what's in the war room, what's in the war. And if you're not a member, you can do it for a buck. So go into,
boom,
yeah, sign up for $1 for a month. So it's going to be a crazy week. So for $1, you can get all the information you want for the next month and see what you like it. But it's definitely worth it for the war room alone. And $1, come on, like, mm-hmm, what are you going to do?
Yeah, the next week is not only departures potentially, NFL draft decisions, transfer portal, but then what are they going to be the additions by next Wednesday? You know, yeah. Are there going to be guys that are added to the class that commit early, or are we going to see signing day just be a potential boon for USC? If I'm Lincoln Riley and somebody says, yeah, coach, I think I'm coming, I'm like, wait till Wednesday. Wait till Wednesday.
Yeah.
You're on national TV, right? Let's see if we can arrange that, you know, get you a hat thing out there. You know, if you want, put three USC hats, but you get to pick one on national TV just to build that momentum, build that conversation once again. And I mean, he's doing all those media hits, but that's just continuing the conversation, continuing the momentum.
USC is nationally relevant again already, yeah, without playing a game. Well, they played a game, but it didn't matter. Yeah, and also
they played
the staff.
A game.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. And then he's building the staff too. So building out the staff, so there'll be news for that. So this is the best time to get on there. There's so much information for you. You can go for $1, so just do it. Like, don't even think about it.
I want to circle back to something we were talking about earlier. Given what, prior to the Lincoln Riley hire, we were expecting this 2022 class to be, especially for the early signing period. Is anything now post Lincoln Riley a win for USC fans, or is it offensive lineman or bust?
Well, I mean, picking up a five-star running back is great. Like, because fans remember, like, oh yeah, we like the local guys, the guys that go to like Modern Day and stuff that are five stars. Yeah, they usually end up at USC. Like, why wasn't that happening? Like, why is Bryce Young going to win the Heisman Trophy? Two like potential finalists. Matt Corral's not I don't think he ended up being a finalist, but two former USC quarterback commits were in the final like Heisman list. Or, you know, Bryce Young, who's the favorite to win it, and Matt Corral, both committed to USC at one point.
Two finalists from right down the road, CJ Stroud as well.
Yeah, CJ Stroud is
who USC
one,
didn't recruit hard enough,
which is crazy. So yeah, no, I think Keeley, when we talk about getting skill guys, the fans are like, hey, that's great, but they do want to see the lineman aspect as well. But just getting, if they got some, you know, linebackers, they got, you know, DBs that are five-star guys or, you know, highly ranked four-star guys coming in, that's a different, you know, it's different than what we've seen. It's just Clay Helton was doing a pretty good job recruiting. You know, he had T. Martin on staff for a while. That was helpful. Obviously, Dante Williams was a good recruiter, but just there was too much turmoil around the program and guys were decommitting. He had some really bad classes, and this one was going to be another disaster of a class. And Lincoln Riley comes in, you know, picked up one five-star, got rid of some of the other players, and I don't know if what you guys think about that, but you know, he cut about half the class that was already there. I mean, what that tells me is you just don't want to bring in bodies. And like in this era of the transfer portal, you would rather not bring in someone that's going to stick around for 4 or 5 years if you don't think they can play. And that's going to be their evaluation if they don't think they can play or not. And the previous staff did, or that was the best they could get. If you don't think they can play, you'd rather get rid of them. Try to bring in someone better. If you can't, you can go to the portal and get somebody else that'll play for a couple years, as opposed to having someone sit there. I mean, there's, you know, there was USC started the season with like 20 offensive linemen and
I think it was like 19.
Yeah, like on scholarship. And, you know, we were told from the coaches like 7 guys could play. Like, that's a lot of dead weight if none of those guys develop. So, no, they had a couple freshman tackles that were playing and starting at times this year. But there's a lot of guys that just haven't been contributors that have dropped off on the offensive line. And I think it seems like Lincoln Riley's going to try to avoid that, rather not bring someone in that you have to kind of carry for 4 years that won't contribute. If you need to, just go to the portal and try to get somebody else. And he's proven that he can do that. He's done a good job of that, too. You know, some great transfers. You know, win Heismans and stuff. That helps, you know.
Definitely helps. Yeah. Shoddy, your thoughts?
You know, when you're talking about the guys that kind of get pushed out of a recruiting class, you feel bad for those kids, you know, that have been committed, like Kevin Green Jr. has been committed to USC for, I think, over a year now, or at least since the spring, and has been the guy, been the most active recruiter. And he was excited about Lincoln Riley in the offense, but he decommits a couple of days later. That tells you that wasn't his choice. That was saying, hey, we think we can find other receivers. So you feel bad for a guy like that who's been recruiting for USC and through all this terrible season has been trying to get other players to come join him, and he just gets pushed out. Unfortunately, that's the business of college football now.
Yeah,
this wouldn't happen 20 years ago, because 20 years ago there wouldn't be a hire and a fire, you know, the way this process played out for USC and right before a signing day period opens.
Yeah, I think in general with stuff like that, and I think he's a great kid, and you know, he probably could have played here, but obviously the staff thinks differently. When you make the kind of bad hires that USC's made, from the president to the athletic directors, like guys that didn't really know what they were doing, to, you know, head coaches, assistant coaches, you've lowered the bar. And then you get to the point where you're like, hey, when the bar lowered, I'm like in the USC, I'm in like, you know, top five job range, you know. And no, you're not. Like they just have, USC hasn't treated this like a blue blood program for quite a while. And now they've made the steps. Mike Bone comes in, puts the investment into the program, and they are now treating this like a blue blood program. And the fans are really excited about it. They bring in a blue blood worthy coach for the first time in, you know, a long time since Pete Carroll, basically. And so now this is what you have, and it's going to change the game. So stuff that used to fly isn't going to fly anymore. And it's going to take some getting used to. There's going to be staff, coaches, whatever, like that's changing, you know, and it's not their fault. Like they were doing a good job for what they were doing. I think there's a lot of great assistant coaches that were on Clay Helton's staff, the guys that I liked, but you know, you were part of that culture, and it doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot of holdover, you know, going forward. It's just because you've raised the bar back up again, and now the game changes, where you're like, oh, that guy was pretty good. Well, Lincoln Riley's not going to try to hire someone that's pretty good. He's going to try to hire the best of that position, and that's, we haven't seen USC do that for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of coaching movement, the only official announcement we've gotten is from defensive line coach Vic Sooto, who penned a letter saying goodbye. So he moves on. We've also heard reports about Clay McGuire, USC's offensive line coach, moving to Washington State. That hasn't been confirmed. His Twitter bio still says that he's USC's offensive line coach, but it sounds like behind the scenes he does have another opportunity lined up.
He got picked up to go to the airport by a Washington State alum. So I'm going to say that.
Hey, you never know if it's cousin. I don't know.
Yeah.
You never know. Speculating. Yeah, okay, yes. But I'm just saying, officially, that's where we stand. I know a lot of people want to know, what is the status with Dante Williams? Gentlemen, what do you believe is going to happen with him?
Yeah, I think, did you put the, I have a question up there, I think. If you
yes,
yeah,
I can do that
if you
as well.
Put that up, just, you know, for
sure.
Fan interaction.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we originally were talking about this, it was like, he's a no-brainer. Like, you want to keep him, should be a priority. Now, I've said on the record, you know, many times, you hire an alpha head coach and you let him do whatever the hell he wants. You're like, if he wants to fire everyone, if he wants to keep everyone, you've hired him to do a job. He's good. Let him do what he wants. The more that's gone on, and just the way the season's sort of deteriorated, and you bring in a guy that's like an ace Southern California recruiter in Lincoln Riley anyway, it seemed like, okay, well, then this might not happen. And just the, you know, reading the tea leaves, it's my guess now is that no one is going to be retained from the current staff. Like I said, there's a lot of guys on the staff that I like, but just the way things went, it seems like Lincoln Riley's going to want to come in and really start fresh. This is a rebuild. He thinks he can do it fairly quickly, and I kind of agree that this can happen just because you're not – it's not the SEC. You're in the Pac-12, and I know Utah's good, and but he can come in and do some great things, and if you catch a couple breaks, you can win the Pac-12 in year one. It might take till year two, but I feel like he needs to start fresh, and keeping guys held over from the Clay Helton era, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, you feel guys like Robert Steiner comes in from Notre Dame. He gets his first head strength and conditioning job. We didn't really get it. It's hard to evaluate that stuff. We talk about it all the time. He's followed Clay Helton. He's going to be at Georgia Southern now. So they tweeted that out today. So guys will get jobs some places, but if you find them going to a lot of these assistants, if they end up at places like Georgia Southern, you're like, why was this guy the head coach at USC if he's now the head coach at Georgia Southern? It was just because USC, like I said, USC lowered the bar. So my gut is, Keely, long answer, because that's what we do here. I think the whole staff is going to be let go at some point eventually. And then Lincoln Riley just brings in all of his guys. I don't know if you guys feel differently, but.
Shoddy?
I mean, that's what we've heard the most probably right now. There's no names that are floating out there like, ooh, this is a guy that, you know, they'd like to keep or anything like that. Dante Williams did sit down, have a sit-down interview or sit-down meeting with Lincoln Riley after Riley was hired. The fact that there's been no announcement or anything, and the fact that we know that Dante Williams has, you know, there's been interest for Dante Williams from other schools.
Sure.
You know, someone actually asked, would he stay on as director of player development or something like that? It's like,
no.
Would USC hire him for that? Sure, if they could.
Yeah.
But he's not going to stay. Why would he go from being an interim coach, being a position coach, to taking an off-field position? Like, that's not going to happen. So, you know, if someone offers him a defense coordinator title or something like that, then he may go somewhere else, and USC won't actually have to fire him. So that'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out, because, you know, there's contracts involved too. If he goes somewhere else, then I think it, you know, no one has to pay anything. I don't think a lot of assistant coaches have buyouts where they have to pay any money to leave. So, you know, USC maybe that's why we haven't heard many announcements. USC's waiting to see if other people get jobs, even though they've let them know we're not going to be retaining you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, as far as the timing with early signing period, are you expecting Lincoln Riley to have his full staff together by the 15th next week? Or do they roll into the early signing period with some positions not fully staffed?
Yeah, I think so. Gerard Martinez did a piece with Lincoln Riley had dinner with the Brown family. And so that's a premium article. Another thing you can go, you know, up there and read. But, you know, they said that there was a mix and there's still support staff people from USC there. So I think it's going to be a mix of the assistant coaches that Lincoln Riley has brought in to be recruiters and also the USC's existing recruiting support staff. So I think that's what they're going to go with now. We might get a hire or two. Maybe over the weekend, maybe before the signing period, but I don't think the staff is going to be fully put together. I think they're focused a lot on, there's guys that are going to be around there. He's been working on, maybe they don't have contracts yet. And then you go forward with, trying to sign all the guys first. And then I think in the coming weeks after that, we'll find out who the whole staff is. I don't expect it to be done by Wednesday.
Well, USC's not announcing any of the hires yet. So we know Grinch is going to be there. We know, you know, the Simmons is going to be there. Yeah. Those guys have been on campus and everything. But besides that, Roy Manning, the DB's coach, he's been involved with recruiting guys. Tulsa's offensive line coach, Zach Hansen, his wife, Annie Hansen, who was the director of recruiting at Oklahoma, those were both on campus for the recruiting event that USC had. So there's some things being worked out behind the scenes as far as the contracts, the background checks, all that stuff that takes a little bit of time.
They're probably working, but just not not signed or whatever.
So they have about a little bit over half the staff or around half the staff, you know, kind of filled right now, but getting everything kind of finalized, that's not going to happen necessarily this week, but those guys are already working for USC. So filling out the rest of the staff, the quicker the better, obviously. Now, once you pass early signing period, then there's kind of a little bit of a lull where, you know, it doesn't matter if you immediately sign the people in the next week or whatever, you get that hire. But there's a lot of stuff to work on during that time. You're still going to have recruiting stuff. You're still going to have, you know, you have the All-American Bowls and stuff like that, and there's guys that are going to be announcing at the All-American Bowl, so you got to try to close those. But there's also just getting to work on all the organizational stuff you got to do at USC. All right, where's our recruiting boards? Where's this? Where's that? Where do we see this person? You know, what can we get them to work on? You know, when winter workouts start, what do we need these guys to do? We need them to go up, weight, down. All those organizational things have to be figured out too. So the quicker you can get all your guys in, the full staff, the better, because it just gives you more bodies, more minds, more guys to work through all that.
Yeah, as teams drop off, they play their bowls too. There's more assistants that, you know, if there's an assistant who wants to go through the bowl point. Game, you know, there's like, so there's more of that too. So it's not necessarily like you have to have the whole staff together now. If it's guys coming over from Oklahoma, that makes sense. But if you're getting someone, you know, if you're going to go hire like a Notre Dame assistant, like, well, you know, he's got a big bowl game getting ready, then, you know, you might want to wait till after that's over.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say this at the top, but y'all know the drill. Put your questions, comments, concerns wherever you're watching.
You know, I'm trying to watch them here, and we'll put them up on the screen.
We're putting them up as well. So
we got a lot of people watching live. Hit the like buttons. Thank you so much for this. Is crazy. It's like a Wednesday show. We don't even do our Wednesday. All these people watching.
It's crazy.
The excitement. People are excited about USC football again.
It's crazy.
That's a good thing.
I also have a suspicion that some people are hate watching. Maybe from the state of Oklahoma. Not sure, but
we had that early on. Do you think that's still happening?
I see some of it in the comments.
Mystery is doing it.
Yeah.
Mystery?
Mystery. Yeah.
Oh, mystery.
Oh,
it's a mystery, guys.
Oh,
got it. Got it. Now, I know we're not transfer portal experts, and I don't know how you could be because there's so many names in the portal, but how, I guess, quote unquote, fertile is the portal right now? And do new doors open because you have a guy like Lincoln Riley coming from Oklahoma where you can kind of attract more people?
Yeah, it's pretty fertile. A lot of commercials are terrible, right? But the Dr. Pepper ones, the transfer portal ones is actually kind of funny. It's like, Rico's time is now, and he jumps in the transfer portal. Like, you're seeing a lot of that stuff happening in the transfer portal. And, you know, USC had some guys enter. There's, you know, some veteran guys that probably weren't going to be, you know, have a huge role on the team going forward. It's sort of like clearing out some of that. I mean, we've seen coaches do a tremendous amount of this. But, you know, when a big name comes in, I think LSU had a top wide receiver or something, or I can't remember what it was. Top tight end, like, going to the portal. And like, ooh, he might go to Arkansas. Oh. There's destinations where, like, people – and if you look at 24/7 sports, like, well, crystal ball where guys are going to go and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's – when you see – like, you follow some of the national recruiting people, and then they'll post, oh, this guy's in the transfer portal. You're like, oh, a left tackle? Yeah, USC could use a left tackle. So, yeah, you're sort of just like – it's, you know, holiday season, right? Like, a little Christmas time. You're looking for, like, those presents under the tree. And Lincoln Riley's adept at finding those guys, and it's not easy. USC sort of missed out on a lot of the offensive line window when they didn't have an offensive line coach during like the heated season, like during the holidays. I think they're going to be on top of that stuff now. So they'll be recruiting the high school players well, but they're definitely going to be monitoring that transfer portal.
Correction. I thought you were referring to, their quarterback, I believe it's Max Johnson, went into the portal. LSU's did.
Oh.
And then his younger brother is the number one tight end in the nation. He decommitted from LSU. I thought that's what you were
saying. Oh, okay. No.
No, Arkansas did get a wide receiver from Oklahoma, though.
Oh, okay.
Jaden Hazelwood, yes. Who is the former number one wide receiver in his class. There's another wide receiver from Oklahoma in there, and there's been discussions about the potential of Marvin Mims going in there. And you look at Hazelwood, you said, USC could use a big-bodied receiver, but he ends up at Arkansas. So we'll see that. You know, last year, every time we looked and saw, someone from Texas is in the portal, we're like,
USC. He ends up at USC.
Let's see if he goes to USC. Now you see Oklahoma, and like, let's see if he goes to USC. And then some of the, you know, in the local kids that have left the area, are any of them going to come back? So that's something we're keeping our eyes on as well. The, you know, Keely, you asked how spicy it was. I'm going to put it at about a Fresno chili right now.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Where's that on the Scoville scale?
Yeah, where is
Scoville
that?
Scale? Is that right? The Scoville?
I don't dabble
correct.
In spice.
Scoville scale. Oh, pretty
I don't
good.
Dabble in spice.
I don't.
Yeah, the transfer portal stuff is definitely interesting because there's all, you know, but there's reasons people go into the portal. And there's sometimes it's the player. Sometimes it's the coach. When you have a situation like USC had last year where you had several coaches that were familiar with the state of Texas, the recruits in the state of Texas and the actual program, the University of Texas, two coaches coming from there, Todd Orlando, Craig Nivar, they can vouch for those players because they've been in the locker room. If that's a cancer in the locker room, they're not going to bring him to the new school. No. So, and this is going to be the same sort of situation where obviously Lincoln Riley's vetted the players that are on the Oklahoma roster because he recruited them and he put them there and their staff knows them. So if they get a player, it kind of gives you an extra boost, right? Like if you get a player from Oklahoma, you know he's not going to be a problem because if he was, you would have left them on there. You're like, okay, I recruited you. It was a mistake. I'm going to leave you there. But so there, you kind of have an advantage when you get a coach from another program, a big time program that has recruits, and USC used that well. I mean, Keontae Ingram was, one of the MVPs of the team if outside of Drake London. So I think you'll see some of that from the Oklahoma side. Anyone they get, at least they're going to be vetted. Otherwise, in the transfer portal, you're like, oh, he's a great left tackle. Well, he might have been a problem at the university was. So there's a reason to go in, and there's different reasons that players go in.
Yeah, I've talked with multiple coaches in various sports that have said usually they're in the portal for a reason.
Yeah.
Now, in football, that can be the position coach left, the head coach left. There's always the potential of I'm homesick. But that's what determines who mines the portal the best. Is you have to find that out.
Yeah.
Why is this guy in there? You got to find out from the high school coach, the 7-on-7 coach or AAU coach in basketball. You got to find out why is he in there? There's family problems going on. He needs to be closer to home. Whatever it may be, you got to find out the reason. Or is it he wasn't doing any grades and he wasn't going to any classes and they said, we're sitting you on the sideline. So he got mad. Whatever it may be, you got to figure out the exact reason why a person is going to the portal, and then you can decide, is that someone want to take? Because sometimes there's some very attractive names in the portal, but they're not an attractive guy to your program.
Yeah.
And that may be scheme fit, that may be also personality fit or locker room fit.
Yeah. It's a good call by you, Shoddy. One of the questions we've received a lot on social media, on the boards, everything, Justin Flo, is that a possibility that he could come to USC?
If he goes in the portal, you would think USC would be probably the number one destination. Well, let's wait until he goes in the portal, though. There's no use in speculating on whether someone's going to go in the portal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once they hit the portal, we have the name. We have access to the names when they go into the portal, so... Once they go in, then we can discuss them. No use in speculating on it. Just does no good.
You got to find some sort of tie, right? And if you want to speculate, you want some tie. So if it's like, well, okay, he came from Oklahoma. Okay, well, Lincoln Riley coached him. So that makes sense.
You can speculate once they go into the portal. Just sure, let them go.
But if it's like it's a Southern California player that wants to come back, like there's the Chris Steeles of the world, the Brew McCoys that end up somewhere else. You're like, well, obviously, if they want to come home, then USC is a destination for that. And now even more so. So, yeah, if there's players that are from the area, whatever, things like that, then, you can guess. But we don't know. Like Shotgun said, he's not in the portal yet.
Mm-hmm. A couple more things for me until we dive into questions. First off, I feel like we should give Drake London his due right before the show started. He declared for the draft, not a surprise there. But the things he was able to do in 8 games this season, only we wish we could have covered him for 12. But what were your thoughts? Because you guys have seen many USC receivers. Where does Drake London rank?
Yeah, we actually were on a different call before this talking about, is he the greatest? He's up there for sure. I mean, the body, what he's able to do. He's still 7.5 games is what he played. He still led the Pac-12 in catches and receiving yards. And he's the offensive player of the year in the Pac-12. And yes, there wasn't like great candidates. There's some good running backs and stuff, but he was just by far and away the best thing that the Pac-12 had for an offensive. USC was unwatchable after he goes down, right? And then who is the best thing around? And so he's still the offensive. For that to happen is crazy. He made the Biletnikoff final, top 10 list or whatever. He's just a special, special player. So congrats to him. Thought there might be some, maybe like, oh, maybe I want to stick around.
No,
there's no way. He shouldn't have stepped. There's no way he should have. If someone said, hey, stick around, college is fun. No, go make your money. But he could have had a lot of fun in this offense. But, he was in a bad offense and had a lot of fun and made a lot of catches. But I think the thing is, like, leading the nation in contested catches, which I think he still does, even though
I could look it up.
I don't think that's what you want. Like, that's like, okay, I can do this, but I would rather be able to be open, And it's not like it's because he was running bad routes. He just wasn't in a very good scheme. So, yeah, kudos to him. He was a delight to cover. He's a great, and I'll give USC props. Like a lot of these guys have just been really good people and just they're great young men And there's something, if you're a USC fan, they're people you can root for. And hopefully you root for him like you root for Michael Pittman or Amon-Ra St. Brown in the NFL, because he's going to be there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Another guy who announced his future was Jalen McKenzie. He is leaving for the NFL draft. Shoddy, what does that mean for USC's offensive line going forward, and maybe the question mark still lingering?
I mean, it's not good for them. You know, just because you lose the experience, and, you know, I will go back and forth with people that denigrate the players for, you know, making a decision like this. This year is not the year to say that guy should never go in the NFL draft. These guys are 5 years into their careers. Yeah. It's not like this is a third-year guy and you're like, you need more seasoning. You know, how much better is he going to get at USC? That's the big question. So, you know, he's a guy that I don't think he'll be drafted. Maybe he will. We'll see. He's got the size. He can move pretty good. And they did some stuff with his hips this offseason to help him move a little bit better. And I think you saw down the stretch run, he played his best football of his career. He had the final three games, he had his three best PFF grades of his career. He took back over the right tackle position and didn't let it go. Didn't have to give up a sack all season. So I think that he's got some things he can still improve on, but, you know, I think he's got a chance to go, and especially with the connections of his father being an NFL executive, he'll get a shot. And now he's got to make the most of it and go from there. But, you know, he's a guy that was anchoring the right side for him. He and Liam Jimmins, the right side's gone now. And if Andrew Voorhees goes and Brett Nealon goes, you've got Justin Dedich and two redshirt freshmen that got benched. That's the only players on the team that have any experience, any notable experience. So then, you know, if we go worst case scenario that those two guys also decide to leave USC, then you're looking at Mason Murphy. You're looking at maybe you get a freshman to come in, a Devin Campbell or Josh Connerly, and, you know, can play right away. You know, you're looking at some of those options, and it's not – there's no experience at all. So that's the biggest thing when you lose Jalen McKenzie, is that he's played over 2,000 snaps of football at USC. So
that's a lot.
You know, there's not a lot of guys that can give you that type of experience that you can pull from the portal. Usually if you're playing 2,000 snaps, you're not leaving your school. So maybe they can go in the portal and get somebody, but that's the big area, is that guys with experience already and experience in this style of offense and know, you know, when you got to hold your block for a long time, when you can get away with, you know, trying to just throw a guy out of the way because it's going to be a quick pass. So we'll see what they can do to replace him, whether it be in the, you know, the recruiting class or in the transfer portal class.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to USC's future offensive line coach, there's a lot of smoke around Bill Biedenbaugh. He hasn't announced, nothing's happened there. Does that give you pause about whether that is going to happen? And if it doesn't, should USC fans be panicked, or given the history that USC had, you know, with Clay Helton, the Rolodex, as people like to say, or since it's Lincoln Riley, hey, maybe calm the panic a little bit if he does not come?
Yeah, I think a lot of USC fans didn't even know who he was. And then they were told he's like the best offensive line coach in the country, or one of them. I'm like, oh, got to get him. And like, oh, we're not going to get him. Oh, crap. You know, like, no, it's okay. Like, I mean, Lincoln Riley hired him, you know, kept him on staff. And, you know, he's someone that I think will be targeted for sure. Will that end up happening? You know, Oklahoma moved fairly quickly, you know, and gets a big name, you know, to – run the program on a defensive guy. So how is this going to work out? I mean, I think we'll have to kind of wait and see, but this isn't a limited Rolodex where you're like, oh man, that was the one coach you could get and otherwise USC screwed. Like, no, I don't think that's going to be a concern.
I still think that there's a chance USC ends up with Biedenbaugh. Obviously not as confident in it as it was a week ago. Yeah. But the question for me is, Brent Venables is a defensive guy. Lincoln Riley runs the offense. So Biedenbaugh had a co-offensive coordinator title. Who's calling the plays at Oklahoma next year? If it's not Biedenbaugh, does he say, what the heck? I was already co-OC. I should be getting that. You know, I think there's some pause there to, you know, if he will stay, you know, are you going to give him the co-OC title and just in name? That could be a possibility. And can USC lure him over? But if they don't, just like you said, it's a very attractive job right now. Mm. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, USC was not an attractive job for assistants. Now, you could look at it and be like, I can still win with that talent. I can show what I can do. But you go, is the coach going to be fired? And that's the staff that's on there. Like, I think Vic Soto did a really good job. I think Dante Williams, when he's working with the corners, did a really good job. But you look at it and you go, you know, new guy comes in. And that's the gamble they had to take a job. And Vic Soto being a, you know, a guy from a kid from Oceanside, you know, he took that gamble. Unfortunately for him, he's going to go somewhere else now because they're not retaining him. But, you know, that's the thing. I think it's much more attractive now of a position because you know they're investing in Lincoln Riley. They know that he got a bunch of money for assistance too. So there's a potential of getting a pay raise for whoever you are, whatever the offensive line coach is out there. So I think there will definitely be some big name targets for USC if Biedenbaugh ends up not being the guy.
Alrighty, let's jump into some questions. It's almost the top of the hour, which is crazy.
Whoa, how did
lots that to talk about, even though we're technically in the off season right now, even though it doesn't feel like the off season. Still things are roaring in that sense. Let's get a question from David, who said, any idea on a strength and conditioning coach, which we believe has already been installed, correct?
Yeah, the answer is Benny Wiley. He's already come over with USC, I mean with Lincoln Riley to USC, so he will be the director of football performance, I believe is the title they've given him. But because of that, Robert Steiner knew that he was, you know, that he was out of a job. So I actually talked to him after the game and, you know, wished him luck and everything to see, because obviously they'd already brought in their guy. So he knew what he wasn't going
to
be the guy.
He was just not around long. I never got to talk to him. Like, I never talked to Robert Steiner once.
It's unfortunate. That's another guy. The guy is like, you come in for 1 year.
Yeah.
You try to prove yourself as much as you can during the off season, but strength and conditioning is as much about building culture as anything else, as well as getting the guy stronger. But so, How well did he do? It's hard to say, it's unfortunate for him that, you know, he wasn't able to get a longer opportunity. And again, that's the danger of being hired by a coach that's on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm. Eric Dunn wanted to know the status of Damani Jackson and Elias Ricks. If you follow Greg Biggins, he tweeted a picture over the weekend of them on campus at USC, which caused a ruckus for USC fans. They were all a flur. I don't even know what that means, but
flutter.
A flutter. Thank you.
All a flur.
What were your takeaways from that, and what are the prognosis for those two recruits?
All a flur, like a French hockey player.
He could have waited like a week to, you know, and this stayed committed, I guess. How long was he decommitted? Like a couple weeks or something? Or
Damani? Yeah. It's been a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah, it's a couple weeks. Yeah.
Huge news for USC if they can potentially get both of those guys, because Chris Steele, we assume, is going to leave USC. Isaac Taylor Stewart told me he's 50-50 after the game. So as he comes back, if they're not there, you're going to see what you saw to begin that Cal game. Freshman Prophet Brown, true freshman, and true freshman Kalen Bullock. Now, there's a couple other guys in between there that were banged up, but, you know, there's no experience, again, at that position. So, you know, if you can bring in Elias Ricks, obviously has a ton of experience, and Damani Jackson, bringing him back in the class, big-time five-star, number one cornerback in the country. So two huge recruits at a position of need for USC right now.
I like it.
We had an interesting question from Coley, who said, with the arrival of Riley, what Pac-12 foe does this affect the most?
So I think there's a couple different levels here. One, and this sort of, you know, with Mario Cristobal leaving, I mean, Oregon for sure, just as far as recruiting goes, because no one was recruiting Southern California better than Oregon. And obviously, you know, Lincoln Riley comes in. I'm saying Mike Riley. Lincoln Riley comes in.
Every time I see Coach Riley on the board, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah, Mike Riley's been around for a long time. Yeah, it's going to impact the way Oregon recruits. Now, that was if Mario Cristobal stayed there. He's gone, and now they got to see who you're gonna hire there. Whoever it is, it's going to be that pipeline from Southern California five-star recruits to Eugene is going to be, you know, choked. The flow is going to be much, much less. But I would say overall, it's probably going to be UCLA that, you know, built some momentum. You had three losing seasons with Chip Kelly, 8-4 this season. Now, he doesn't recruit at that level, but now that they're winning, would he try to recruit some of the local 4- and 5-star talent? He just hasn't done that. He's done a lot of like our kind of guys thing, really upset UCLA fans. They want to see UCLA compete for recruits like Jim Mora did, and to a certain extent, you know, Rick Neuheisel. You want to see that happening, and they weren't. But that's going to be, you know, UCLA was able to get two wins over in the 4 years of Chip Kelly over Clay Helton teams, the first year and the last year. It's going to make that a lot more difficult. And for UCLA, you know, they haven't been to Rose Bowl forever and all that stuff, or, you know, won a Rose Bowl a really long time. But beating USC is like kind of makes the season for a lot of the Bruins fans sometimes. It's going to be a lot harder to do that, I think, with Lincoln Riley, who's bringing in a lot of talent. So I think overall, like, Arizona State's going to be impacted. I know Utah's going to keep their guys and do the same thing. But I think UCLA, like, team-wise, just being in the same city. And then Oregon, as far as, like, their lifeblood has been recruiting Southern California. That's going to be a lot harder.
The answer is the 11 other schools. Because fair. It ups the ante. USC is invested heavily in this yes. hire and the assistant coach hires and everything else. There's talk of facility upgrades. And that just forces everyone around you to, you know, to either follow along, follow suit, and, you know, invest in their program or get left behind.
Yeah.
Now, you could say, well, USC traditionally leaves the rest of Pac-12 behind as well, but there's usually teams that are competing with them. And so you're going to see Oregon is going to spend. Washington will spend. UCLA should spend money. Like, they should be trying to keep up with USC. And if USC puts a hurt on a couple teams, then I think that's what motivates a team to do it. You know, like when you lose 62-33, you know, suddenly you're motivated to go out and spend, you know, $10 million or whatever it is on a coach per year. I don't know if any school in the Pac-12 has done that recently or not. But
no, it's funny. I before the Pac-12 championship game in Vegas, George Kliavkov had a press conference, and a couple of questions were about USC hiring Lincoln Riley. I got to ask him a question about it, too, and he did talk about, you know, it's great for the Pac-12, the investment that USC made, but it's going to be up to the other programs to make similar investments and try to do, you know, and try to be competitive at that level. So he felt it could raise the bar for all the programs, and I think you're right. I think it does.
We had a question from Fritz on Facebook who said, what's going to happen with the GAs, QCs, and other football support staff members? Will they be kept?
So it's kind of a mixed bag. Usually your recruiting staff, your support staff that are doing the recruiting stuff, some of those people will be retained. You know, oftentimes the director of recruiting or, you know, whatever, the top person that they really trust, you know, may follow them. We've seen that occasionally in any Hansen is apparently coming to USC, so expect her to take over a role in the recruiting. But Gavin Morris's, Armand Hawkins, Marshall Sherrington, those type guys, they've been recruiting all day. They were at the recruiting event and everything like that. Now your QAs, your analysts, your GAs, all that becomes a little bit more murky. The analysts, particularly, usually those guys are gone. The GAs, the student assistants, those often are kept on, but it just kind of depends if someone has someone in mind already, if there's a family member, that can sometimes happen. You know, someone like Taylor Mays, you would expect them to want to keep. Why not keep an All-American on staff? But you just never know until it kind of all shakes out.
Yeah.
We got a question on Facebook from Alan who said, Pac-12 Commissioner Kliavkov says our conference will move to 8 games if the Big Ten does the same. Why do we care about what other conferences do?
So I wouldn't put it that way. I mean, there's the alliance now. But when we talked to Kliavkov on Friday before the championship game, I mean, he's trying to maximize the opportunity for playoff appearances. And if they change the selection scenario, if you want to get the highest ranked team to win the conference, or you don't want a division winner to win that's, you know, got a whole bunch of losses, you're going to change. They're going to change the structure. So they will get rid of divisions if they have to do that. They will go down to 8 conference games. And he had some aggressive stuff to say about scheduling, where he doesn't think you should schedule games 10 years out and stuff. You should be able to, like, rotate things. We saw during the pandemic, games happen in hours, like, you know. And so I wouldn't say he's trying to follow the Big Ten. They're in an alliance with the Big Ten. It wouldn't make sense to go to 8 if the Big Ten wasn't doing it, but they're going to be in lockstep because they're going to try to do what's best to allow the conference to be successful at the top. Larry Scott was parity, everyone the same. George Kliavkov knows, like, we want our best teams to be able to do well, and if someone comes from the bottom and becomes the best team, Utah's going to the first Rose Bowl, that's great, but we're not going to inhibit the blue blood programs in the conference because we're trying to make Oregon State and Washington State as competitive as possible. Like, they know they have to make a conference, you know, these conference championship games to go to the college football playoff. So I think that's where the focus is.
They're also a part of that alliance with the ACC as well. So, you know, they want to be in line with each other. And then you don't want to be the only one doing something that's actually hurts the conference, because you lose that many, you know, you lose 6 wins potential when you have an extra conference game, because you're going to be playing your own conference. So your conference as a whole, you know, 6 teams are taking a loss. So that's the difference there. Whereas the SEC has New Mexico State coming in the week before Thanksgiving, you know, the Pac-12 is playing a rivalry game or whatever it may be. So that's where it is. You know, if the with the expansion of the SEC, there had been talk about the SEC potentially going to 9 conference games. If the SEC does that, then I think you would see the Pac-12 stay put and, you know, potentially the ACC join instead of going the other way.
Mm-hmm. We're reaching the top of the hour, so if you have some burning questions that you want answered, put them in now. We'll be sure to answer them. Speaking of burning questions, we have gotten so many questions about Caleb Williams and his this is actually different.
Sorry, he's foot quarterback.
But we have gotten a ton of questions about Caleb Williams and could he transfer to USC?
Sure, he could. Why don't we just wait until he enters the transfer portal?
Other than Shaka, Ryan, do you think...
do you want to know what happens if he transfers in?
What happens?
Every other quarterback on the roster is gone.
Yeah.
And people are going to say, well, they don't want to compete. Why am I going to try to compete with a guy that I know is already going to win the job? I'm going to go somewhere else and compete where I think I actually have a chance to win the job, because if Lincoln Riley is bringing his quarterback with him who already has experience in his system that just beat out an older player in his system, that's who he's going to pick. Yeah. There's not going to be any battle. So Jackson Dart and Miller Moss will both transfer. USC will have one scholarship quarterback on the roster unless they can get a freshman may come in to follow behind him because he's not in that same class. But otherwise, you're going to lose all the quarterbacks that are on the scholarship quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah, you probably have to bring multiple transfers if you bring them in. But that,
and then,
again,
and
he's
then who's the second transfer that's going to want to come in? Why am I going to transfer somewhere to go sit behind Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I think if he goes into the portal, it's going to be – I mean, I think you bring in Brett Venables, it's a big name, and something is like, okay, this is worth looking at. Like, this is one of the top defensive minds in college football. He's going to be running the program. Now, the quarterback that can give you some pause, Devin Brown was the quarterback commit for USC, was very close to Graham Harrell. You bring in a great offensive mind like Lincoln Riley, but it wasn't really fitting what Devin Brown wanted to do. So that wasn't a match. You have to see if this is going to be a match for Caleb Williams. He might, have some time to kind of think things over and go into the portal. And if he does, maybe he ends up at USC. Maybe he ends up somewhere else. But, he's not in the portal yet, so I think this is something, it probably won't happen until early next year if he goes in at all. But we'll probably get more information about it going forward.
I mean, if USC, if Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams calls him up and says, hey, coach, I'm thinking about this. I'm just saying it's a dangerous gambit. Caleb Williams, extremely talented. But what if he gets injured? You could be down. You're going to be down to either a freshman or a walk-on, probably. So maybe you get an experienced guy like Mo Hassan who's going to come in and is expected to be a backup, but that's pretty rare. So I think it's a dangerous gambit if he does end up coming to USC.
Yeah, it's tough. There's a lot of programs that have like two guys on scholarship, and you'd rather not if you don't have,
Yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks who could enter the portal, what about Ohio State's Quinn? I always botch this because I want to say my last name. Yours? How do
yours?
You say it?
Yeah. Yours, I think, yeah. I know he was a kid that comes out. What was he out of Texas and has like big NIL deal?
Yep.
So I'm at Elite 11.
He reclassified actually, which is very rare in football. We've had a couple questions about that with Mekhi Lemon and Malachi Nelson as well, which I do not believe that will happen.
No, I didn't.
Again, very rare. It happens a lot more in basketball just because of where the season is placed, and sometimes in baseball, but very rare for it to happen in football because you have to basically skip a whole year, which JT Daniels did. But it is something that doesn't happen very often. And I think that when you're looking at that, I lost my whole train of thought here.
Go ahead. With the Quinn.
Quinn Ewers. Yeah, he reclassified, went to Ohio State, makes a bunch of money on the NIL, takes a couple of snaps, I think. But it was interesting that he would even do that because C.J. Stroud looked like he was going to be from the spring game and everything else, looked like he was going to be the guy, looked like he was pretty talented. Quinn Ewers decides to go anyways, and now he sees, C.J. Stroud is the guy. I'm going to be, it's going to be probably 2 more years before, I get a chance. So he's like, all right, I'm going back, or I'm taking off. And he's probably landing somewhere in the state of Texas. He's probably just going back home, whether it be at the University of Texas, Texas Tech. There's a couple other programs down in that area. I don't know. Maybe he didn't like the cold either. I don't like the cold.
Oh, we got a question from Sorry.
Hi, Sorry. How are you doing?
No. That's such a dad joke, Ryan. We got a question from Chris who really wants this question answered. He said, what happens to an unwanted scholarship player? If the player does not want to transfer, can USC convert their scholarship to a stipend to a non-academic one and free up that scholarship?
Technically, no.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to push someone out. That's why what actually happens in that conversation is, hey, we don't think you're the best fit. This is where we see you on the depth chart. We think it's best for you to go look for playing time somewhere else. We can even suggest a couple places potentially that we think might be a good landing spot for you. But we know you want to play football. We know you're not just here for the academics. We want you to go and be successful somewhere else. That's how the conversation probably goes, rather than, hey, buddy, you got to go.
Yeah.
It's not that way.
It's like, hey, you're not going to play. You're going to blah, blah, blah. And then sometimes kids can medically retire and stay on scholarship. Yeah, there's games that can be played, but, you know, yeah. It's a behind the closed doors sort of thing that was happening.
Sometimes schools try to get kids to medically retire. I think it was Jalen Phillips that UCLA tried to medically retire, yeah. Or maybe it was the linebacker that was committed to USC, and I'm forgetting his name, Mike Juarez. But he ended up transferring and going somewhere else and was able to play. I think it was Jalen Phillips. I think because he had a neck injury and yeah. went to similar to Jarvis Jones.
Jarvis Jones, yeah. Who ends up going to
Georgia because USC wouldn't clear him medically. He goes to Georgia.
And he's like all SEC or something.
But then when he went to the NFL, you know, the medical ended up hurting him there. So
yeah, so he didn't last that long. It was Steelers, I think, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
We got a question from Eddie who said, is the modern day pipeline back up and running? Is USC grabbing all four major modern day 2022 stars plus Ricks?
Well, that would be interesting because I believe all four of them, three of them are committed elsewhere when Lincoln Riley gets hired. Now, Relique Brown has flipped. C.J. Williams is still committed to Notre Dame. And David Bailey actually committed this past weekend. Sorry, so it was only two to begin with, but he committed to Stanford.
Yeah.
The next day, he goes to USC for a recruiting event. So we'll see how that one plays out. That one can be really interesting. Damani Jackson, it's USC and Alabama. Hard to beat Nick Saban. You know, he's put in a ton of cornerbacks into the league. So we'll see what they can do there. And if you can get him and Elias Ricks, then yeah, I would say the modern day pipeline is up and running full steam ahead.
Yeah, the right answer is yes. You're going to take that wrench and just completely open it up, and it's going to be flowing.
USC fans are hoping so.
Yeah, I think so. I know you got Nick Saban versus Clay Helton. The scales might go like this. Nick Saban versus Lincoln Riley. In his home turf, you know, that's a little closer. So, yeah.
Dwayne wanted to know, do you think alternate uniforms are on the table?
Probably not.
The traditionalists need to close their ears.
Yeah, I don't think that's like Lincoln Riley's not coming in like, yeah, we're going to do alternate uniforms and go crazy. Like, I don't think that's – he likes the tradition that's there. I think he wants to build on that. I don't think it's going to be – let's try to be Oregon.
When did Oklahoma start using – going with the non-traditional?
Did they do that or –
were the cream ones? I don't think the cream ones were ones that they had in the 80s or anything. So
yeah, maybe.
But I think that was with Stoops before him. So I don't think he necessarily has changed.
I'd have to go back and look, but I don't think that was something he was like champion or anything. So he seems to like the tradition at USC. So probably not, but I don't know. Who knows?
We got a question on Facebook that Ryan put up, not me. He said, Urban Meyer to Oregon, ?
It's just so fun to talk about Urban Meyer going to another school that's not USC. But it seems like Phil Knight wants to make a splash. John Canzano is doing a good job reporting on it. What's going on up there? The Lane train, people that talked about Lane Kiffin. Canzano shot that down.
Said he just got a contract extension and signed it. So.
Yeah, it's like that's probably not going to happen. There was one other one that he like brought up that it wasn't, but
Chip Kelly,
Chip Kelly one. Yeah. So that would have been really fun. Obviously like if Chip Kelly goes back to Oregon, but it seems like Canzano was saying that's probably not going to happen either. So sorry for UCLA fans that wanted to get rid of your coach. The Urban Meyer thing, like I think Oregon is a little like, it's not the most conservative place. I think you would have to be a little bit more conservative place to try to hire Urban Meyer. Like there's rough around the edges, right? So I just don't. He'd be a killer, right? I mean, he would just crush it there. That would be bad news for USC if Urban Meyer went there. Like that sort of like takes some of the wind out of USC's sails. But I don't think they would go there. But it seems like Phil Knight is trying to make a big splash. He's 82 or 83 years old. He wants to see them win a title. They've invested so much into that program. So I think they're going to spend. LSU like wanted Lincoln Riley bad. They wanted to make a big splash, and they're like, we can't get him. Notre Dame, like let's go get another big name. So I kind of feel like Oregon's going to try to make as big of a hire as possible, but yeah, we'll see.
David on YouTube wanted to know, was letting Vic Soto go, will that mess up the Pauly pipeline that SC is known for?
I mean, USC has a ton of Polynesian players right now. I think personally you need to have a Polynesian coach at USC. You know, I've said this before, when you're creating a staff, you need a well-rounded staff, in whether it's a yeller versus a coddler, you know, different ethnic races, different things like that. Even if different heights, might as well just mix it up.
You can't have all like offensive line guys. You can't have all like 6'5", 300-pound coaches. You need some small guys too.
But you need like the fiery guy. You need the guy that's going to put his arm around a player. But I think you also
need the guy that's going to scare the crap out of you if he's walking by your locker like, oh, he's here. I better.
But I think you also need to be able to connect background-wise. And the Polynesian culture, the background is huge there. You know, culture is huge in that community. So I think you need that because of the heritage that USC has with Polynesian players. So I think you would like to have a Polynesian coach on staff if you're a USC.
Ryan?
You know, I think I don't think it's necessary. I mean, they're probably going to have support staff people. There's going to be players. I think there's a good community. You know, at USC already for like Polynesian players, it's great. There's a lot of people, but you know, you do want some of that representation too. Someone that's actually on the staff. I get that. But I think if you didn't have one, you know, just for whatever reason, I think the community is pretty strong already, so they could probably get by. But I mean, ideally, yeah, it'd be nice to have.
Yeah, and I thought defensive line was a spot where that could be, but apparently not.
Yeah.
We got a question from Sergio on Facebook who said, what are you guys most excited for with this new coaching staff? Fan interest.
Like for our jobs, it's been really, you know, cry me a river, like whatever, you cover football for a living. But like, it's, you know, it's when we would like, oh, write a story about USC got a visit from this guy. And then everything would we hear is like, well, it doesn't matter because Clay Helton's head coach. And you put a lot of work in the stuff. You know, Shaka and Keeley do film study. We'll write 4,000 word war rooms, and there just wasn't the same kind of interest that there is right now. I mean, like if you just look at the show, like our YouTube page, we have over 1,000 people watching live just on YouTube alone, you know, and that's great. Like we're doing this for you guys. We love it. We enjoy what we're doing, but there just wasn't the kind of fan interest, and people became very apathetic late in the Clay Helton era. And you start to wonder, like, is USC football as big of a deal as it was? Maybe it wasn't. And I never believed it wasn't, but it's reassuring and you kind of get validated. You're like, okay, all they had to do was like hire somebody good, like just someone that was good at their job, and the fans would come back. Because they knew that USC was hiring cheap. They weren't hiring good people, and they were doing it for the wrong reasons. And now they've brought someone in for the right reason, because he's a good coach and he's going to win. And so I think that's what the fans wanted to see, and that's why they're coming back in droves. So, yeah, fan interest, 100% is what I'm most excited for.
Mm-hmm. Offensive creativity.
Yeah, that's cool too.
You know, especially in the last – since 2014, I think, is when I started charting every play. So
crazy.
You know, I've got a lot of data on stuff, but it just hasn't been that necessarily that creativity. So watching every play and seeing, you know, a lot of the same stuff, and you see how it works, how it doesn't. And then going and doing some research on Lincoln Riley and watching some of the breakdowns of his stuff and be like, ooh, that's different. That's different. When you hear Urban Meyer, when he was on the Fox show, saying he's doing stuff I've never seen before. Mm. And Joel Klatt saying the same thing. Joel Klatt, I think, called him the most creative offensive mind that he's seen in his time.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of new wrinkles, how does he make adjustments during games, all those type of things. I'm looking forward to seeing that from Lincoln Riley. Mm-hmm. Should be fun.
We got a question from Markel who said, will USC be able to flip CJ Williams?
It's a possibility, especially with the hire of Brian Kelly at LSU. You would think that weakens his commitment a little bit at least. Now, they kept Tommy Reese. They've kept most of the staff on, so that's going to make it a little bit tougher. And he's said that he's still committed to Notre Dame, but he's been at USC a couple of times already now for recruiting events, and I'm sure USC is going to try to get all those local guys that just had, at least especially the 2022 ones, on campus once again for this big official visit weekend. Now, they may come in unofficially, but there's going to be a bunch of big official visits coming in, so I'm sure they're going to try to get those guys to come.
3802er said, at the Riley presser, he mentioned facilities upgrade. Is there anything in the pipeline to get a football-specific gym/locker upgrade similar to UGA or Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably going to be the plan. We don't have any specifics from that, but that's what the athletic department was Talking about with Lincoln Riley, I mean, it was pretty general as far as facility upgrades go. There's an issue with a city campus where there's just not as much space. I think they're pretty creative, and I think you might see some different things. I don't know. I mean, if there's, do you, you know, take over the John McKay Center and make it football only, and then you're adding for other sports near the Galen Center or something there? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what you could do. They might have some options, but I think they're going to, you know, you never thought the University Village would happen. Like, that was, you know, that was crazy. Like, that was this huge undertaking of what went on. Is it going to be something like that where you're like, okay, we're going to take over another city block and just do things? I don't know, but we'll see. There's been some promises made. It seems like Lincoln Riley's thinking long term, so I wouldn't expect anything soon, but it'll be interesting to see over the next year or so if we get some plans and, like, here's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, what do you miss most from the old University Village?
I mean, the 3-2 market was pretty awesome. if you're like, if the old school USC people, like, they, when I was in school, they had like this old dusty bathtub full of like $4 booze that was just, yeah, there was like,
back in my day,
it was pretty awful. And we could buy like, you know, cases of Natty Light, I think, for like $8.99 or something. So it was pretty bad. Yeah. Wow. Like, they called it, yeah, it was a 3-2 market. They call it like third world market or whatever back when we were in school. Yeah, but there was a Wendy's over there. I used to go sometimes.
Wendy's for Frosties.
Wendy's Burger for Frosties King. Was good. The Burger, I don't know if that was in that area. There was a Carl's Jr. on campus. I think it was like the busiest. Yeah, the Carl's Jr. was, I think, the busiest Carl's Jr. like in the country. Like the one that was on the USC campus where they rebuilt
the Panda Express is apparently the highest grossing Panda Express in the United States.
Is it really? Yeah.
Apparently.
That place crushes it. There. I know. Like, yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy yeah. Talk indeed. We had a question. Speaking of restaurants, Andrew wanted to know, what restaurants is Ryan recommending to Lincoln Riley?
Oh, I have it. I have to. Yeah. I forgot to talk to him about that.
Just so gotta we'll slide see. In with
I don't know where he's going to. It depends where he lives. If you get, he's kind of a private guy. He's probably going to be PV. He's probably going to be Palos Verde. So I'll have to come. I don't know that area as well. But if he wants to do Manhattan Beach and he's going to come in there, yeah, I'll
that's a Ryan Abraham's specialty.
Yeah,
right
that's
there.
A, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Ula Ula wanted to know, Ryan, how do you rate Brian Kelly's fake Southern accent?
That was pretty awful. yeah, like that was just, that whole thing is bizarre. Like, it's never easy. Like, these are like breakups, right? Like, when you have, it is a breakup, essentially. You know, you have a coach leave one blue blood for another. It, like, never happens, and it happened twice in 2 days. I think if the Lincoln Riley thing happened about as clean as you could do, like, breakups are always going to be a little bit messy, you know. But the Brian Kelly one was just, there was just so many weird things that were happening with that one. And then him talking about family, and they're using the same, they used the promo video that they had already shot at Notre Dame. And USC
My
got like
family.
That was so family. That was just so weird, you know. And there's some weird stuff like USC, like they made that Saturday Night Live skit or whatever. Like, some of that stuff's funny, but this was just like, that just felt weird, you know. I don't know. I was like, we'll see how it works.
I don't
out.
Know if you guys saw the Rich Eisen was going to have Lincoln Riley on, and they started talking about what if he comes on and he's got a California accent, like he's like the Californians on the Saturday Night
like,
Live.
Oh my God! It's probably
I took the 405 to get here, and I was like,
Wilshire
was so backed up. Yes.
And if Lincoln Riley comes on talking like that about awesome. Recruits,
yeah. Yes.
You take the 10 to the 4.
I tried to get a 4-star.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That's an iconic moment on Tunnel Vision. We have a question from Trojan, who said, I want to know, I thought he was talking about Brandon Sosna was going to be here to answer our questions. I really want to know, how high did we swing? So if you didn't miss it, if you missed our post either on the Peristyle or I put it in the subscription feed, we had to move that. Brandon is obviously very busy during this time frame. They're trying to put together new staff and everything like that. So he needed to reschedule on Sunday. We're still trying to get that figured out when we're going to have him on the show. We will have him on the show, though, so stay tuned for that. We'll either post Twitter or the subscription feed or on Peristyle to make sure you guys know when that will be happening. But yeah, that is the plan going forward. And apologies again that we couldn't get him on Sunday, even though we had promised to. So we'll be sure to get him in the studio soon.
Yeah. He's great, like, with us. I mean, obviously really crazy busy and stuff right now. The fact that he would come on with us and it's great. So we appreciate Brandon. He was, you know, Mike Bone called him the architect of the search. So we want to see a lot of thank yous in the chat when Brandon comes on. Thank you for hiring him. We will.
The slander that he
there was a lot of slander. Yeah,
they've gotten.
You know, I gave him slander too, but you know, whatever.
But Trojan asked, what he asked us for Brennan, but he said, was Riley USC's first choice? Did they go at, did you guys go after Meyer, Carroll, Saban, or Sweeney? I'm curious, who did we really go after, and was Riley really our first choice?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be talking about stuff like that. Yeah, this
you don't get into that. Well,
you hired Lincoln Riley, which is amazeballs, right? So I think that's what he's going to be talking about.
He probably would, knowing Brennan, he'd probably go, no, actually, Vince Lombardi was the first choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't currently available.
Right.
It's like the reception speech at your wedding. You're not going to talk about your exes or like people you have had entanglements with. It's just you're going to be married this person. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, reunited with the prom queen after 10 years, but then she cheated on me, but now I'm with her. It's great. Yeah, you know, it's like, you don't do that. Like,
you don't do that. No. So don't set your expectations accordingly.
I don't know. That sounds like a fun wedding.
Shocking, you're messy, but no. We also had a question. I thought it was funny. Someone said, what if Riley starts going, fight on, dude? So, like, having the California accent. So
that would be good.
But yeah.
Well, so, you gotta say it slow. It's like, dude.
Dude, fight on. Dude. Gosh, I can't wait for this to get clipped.
If he gets all Spicoli, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Alrighty, gentlemen. Any final thoughts before we wrap this show up? Shoddy, it's one of your last. We had people coming in and be like, what? What's happening, Shotgun? He's moving to the East Coast and we will miss him dearly. He still contribute, but he'll be doing so from the East Coast. Final thoughts, gentlemen, before we wrap this one up.
Julie on Facebook says, the bathtub of hangovers at the 3-2 market. Yeah, that was. I didn't know it was called the bathtub of hangovers, but I'm glad she remembered that. Thanks, Julie. Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah, people are like, ooh, the 3-2 market in the chat. So you brought up some memories for people, Ryan.
There was like, yeah, there'd be like 20 people in that liquor store and like 40 cockroaches. It was just like the ratio was like,
a fine ratio.
Yeah,
okay. It was good.
1-2.
Sure. We the fan interest is amazing. Like it invigorated us to do our jobs, and like that's what we all try to do. We just want to try to bring you the most objective, the best Trojan news, the insider stuff, all this stuff, and you know, great shows, podcasts, all that. And we love doing it. And it's way better when you guys are as interested as you are. So thank you for doing that. And we'll keep going. I mean, just check the site this weekend, USAFootball.com. There's going to be a ton of stuff going on with the recruiting visits, you know, hiring coaches and all that.
And a basketball game.
And a basketball game. Is it a home basketball game?
Yes.
Oh, 9-0, Shoddy. Do you want a minute?
Sure. USC's 9-0. They just defeated Eastern Kentucky. They didn't play great, but Isaiah Mobley was fantastic. They were plus 29 when he was on the court. They were negative 17, I think, when he was off the court. He was amazing, and that was the difference. And he's really stepping into his own, which is really fun to see because he's a former five-star, kind of, you know, suffered his injury right before his freshman year. His baby brother was there last year. So, you know, he was getting all the accolades. Now he's the center of attention, and I think he's really blossoming right now. So really fun to see. And he's one of about five or six guys that have improved their game so much since last year that it's really fun to see just improvement. And that's, maybe we'll see that in the football field occasionally going forward. But just development, any infield in that group have done a terrific job. And 9-0 right now, they were ranked number 7 in the first net rankings, which is the rankings that are used by the selection committee. That's a really positive note for USC to start out with. So if they can stay there, that's a 1 or 2 seed more than likely. So we'll see if they can do that once they get into conference play. A couple more non-conference games coming up. One on Sunday at 2:00, one next Wednesday. I believe it's like 6 or 7. Depending on what time USC has their signing day event, I'm going to go over to the arena whenever that ends. And maybe we'll have a little meetup for anybody that wants to come, since that'll be the last game that I'll be covering at Galen right now. But then USC goes on a little road trip to Phoenix, where they will play Georgia Tech. Really interesting matchup just because two players on the Georgia Tech roster are former USC Trojans who transferred to Georgia Tech, Jordan Usher and Kyle Sturdivant, both kids from Georgia. Then they'll travel to Oklahoma City to play Oklahoma State, and I'm actually going to follow them along. On my trip to go to the East Coast, I'm going to follow the basketball team, so I'll be in Phoenix. If anybody's going to be there, hit me up. Let me know. Maybe I'll meet up before that, one of those games as well, and then I'll be in Oklahoma City for that game, and then finish off the trip, make it over to see some family for Christmas time.
Nice.
The most shotgun way to move with the USC basketball. Yeah. That makes sense.
Are you going to just let the bus tow you, or are you going to like save
gas?
That'd
be great. Save some gas.
Yeah, there you go.
If they were taking a bus to Phoenix and then Oklahoma City, that would actually be the more newsworthy portion of it.
Yeah, that's very true. Alrighty. Bossman, any final thoughts? When will we be back for Shotgun's farewell show? Sunday, I believe.
Should we do Sunday?
Yes.
I'm not going to be here Sunday.
Oh, just kidding. We'll be back with Shotgun.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, we got to do a show. You guys are going to do a final Tunnel Vision. I mean, Family Feud too, right?
I know. The send off.
So we'll figure it out. And there are people asking, like, yeah, so we're still figuring out the details. It's, you know, Shotgun's going to be on the East Coast, but he'll still be involved with the site. You know, I think he still wants to be. I still want him to be. So we will make sure that works out.
I mean, you didn't ask me, but I still want him.
We'll see with the contract negotiations.
Healy's the boss.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I have to have the final stamp of approval, so we'll see.
But we will. So, you know, you will still see, you know, read his stuff on USCFootball.com, and I'm sure listen to him or watch him here in some way, shape, or form.
Awesome. Alrighty, that's going to wrap it up for tonight's episode. Thanks so much for everyone who tuned in, comments, the likes, subscriptions. We thank you guys so much. We love interacting with y'all, so thanks for that. But that's going to wrap it up. That's Shotgun. That's Ryan. I'm Keely. We will see y'all next time. Bye.
Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button.
Way to go, Shotty.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.